Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 43 to 49. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not ready, you better hurry up, because here I go. Bible says, no good tree bears bad fruit. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man and the good woman brings good things out of the good stored up in his or her heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Is that you today? Are you hearing the word of God and putting it in gear in your life? Because I'll tell you what your life is like if you're doing that. He says, he is like the man, the one who puts it into practice. He is like a man who builds a house and who digs down deep and lays the foundation on rock. And when the flood comes, the torrent struck that house, but it couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice, or the one who does not hear my words and because of that can't put them into practice, is like the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation, like a man who built his house on the sand. And the moment the torrent, the moment the flood struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Lord, we come before you this morning, studying about the kingdom, Lord, going through trials, going through tests in our lives, challenges that come our way, Lord. Lord, we want to pass through. We want to see strength in our lives. We want to see strength in the lives of those around us, Lord. Lord, we are looking for your power and your might released in us. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, asking that you would be magnified in your word, that your spirit would come and open our minds to understand, Lord, that you would bind every distraction. Lord, that you would bring conviction where there needs to be conviction, Lord. That you would bring encouragement where there needs to be encouragement, Lord. Oh, Lord. Let us not walk out of here in confusion, but let us understand where we stand with you. We'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, Jesus is talking about trees. And when I was a child, we used to go to my grandma's house. And my grandma had an apricot tree. And we'd go there in summer, end of summer. It was Oakland. And that tree would have so many apricots on it, she would have 2x4s stuck up underneath the limbs to keep the limbs from breaking off. And we would, and it was like, and the limbs would be dripping down with the apricots on it. We were little kids, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and we'd go pick them apricots, and we'd just make piles of apricots and then piles of the pits. And we would just be thinking, oh, and I'll tell you, the best ones are the mushy ones. Oh, man, it was like eating candy. So I decided when we moved here, when we moved to San Diego, that we would plant an apricot tree. And if you've been to my house, you have seen all the apricots that we have, which is zero. Because my apricot tree died. Jesus talks about good trees, and Jesus talks about bad trees. And the bad trees are the ones that got no fruit. My grandma's tree was great. My tree didn't work out so well. How are you working out today? What's your fruit like? The Bible tells us that Jesus was a carpenter, but sometimes he sure talks like a farmer. He talks about fig trees, he talks about vineyards, he talks about wine presses, he talks about mustard seed growing up and becoming a great big old plant. He talks about sheep. He talks about goats. He talks about donkeys. He talks about all kinds of stuff. And why does he do that? He does that because he wants to try to connect to our hearts. Some of us have heart issues, and we don't even know. We got heart problems. We don't know because we're playing games. We're playing games with ourselves. We're playing games with God. And I got a message for you today. If you don't get anything else from today but this. You can fool yourself, but you can't fool God. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. See, God will bring things to your life that will display what you have inside of yourself. Today's message is called Kingdom Expectations. And my question for you today is, what are you hoping for? What are you expecting? And what should you expect for what comes later? We're going to take a look at that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Kingdom expectations. Point number one, this is not so difficult. How many of you think life is tough? Come on now. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, challenges everywhere. Jesus breaks it down for us, okay? No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Pretty simple. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, yeah, it sounds pretty easy. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Jesus says that we need to live with proper expectations. Proper expectations. He says you can tell a tree by its fruit. Now, sometimes it's easy. Who knows what kind of tree that is? Who said that? You, right, because it's got the leaves. Some people get confused by that. But if you get up close and you see figs, there is no doubt. Amen?
Amen?
All right, challenge number two. What kind of tree is that? Now, you didn't say the other one, right? You said the other one, right, Anna? Okay, so avocado. How many of you knew that was an avocado tree? Now, if you walk up to it and you see that, is there any doubt? No. Why? Because you can tell a tree by its fruit. Amen? Okay, here's a harder one. Good. See, there's some confusion, but if you see that hanging on its branches, there is no confusion. And the Lord says, hey, you know what to expect. You can tell what kind of trees by the type of fruit. And he says, you're not going to get bad fruit from a good tree. He says, you got to live with proper expectations. Now, we talked about figs. How many of you like figs? Up high, hand up high. Come on now, you like figs. Figs are kind of a unique kind of fruit, amen? We got in trouble. You can put them down now. We got in trouble. We used to go, we little kids, maybe like 7 years old, and we'd go pick the figs off the lady's tree down the alley from us. We lived in Holtville. And a lady got mad and came and yelled at my mom. She said, don't you be picking them figs anymore. But we liked those figs. We'd go up there in the purple ones, yeah. But Jesus says, hey, you would be foolish if you thought that you would pick figs, see how good those figs look? From a thorn bush. He said, nobody is going to walk up to a thorn bush expecting to get figs. Jesus says, you would be foolish. He says, you're not going to get great. Now, that's a great picture, isn't it? I mean, don't you just look at that and it just kind of feels cool and shady and nice, right? He says, no one's going to pick grapes from briars. You have to live with proper expectations. And he says, it works with people too. Bad people are going to do bad things. Good people are going to do good things. And he says that you should not expect good things from bad people. Bad people going to be bad. Good people going to be good. Lost people are always going to act lost. And saved people are always going to act saved. Now you walk in here. We don't know what you are. You could be lost. You could be saved. You could come here lost and get saved. That could happen for you today. Say, I don't want to be lost no more, I don't want to be failing no more. I want to give Jesus Christ my life. And you know what? You can be transformed today. You can go from the lost pile to the found pile. Amen?
Amen.
But if some people come here and say, oh, hey, I'm a child of God, we'll take a risk on you. Why? Because we don't know what's in your heart. We'll give you some opportunities. But sooner or later, the real you is going to come out. And then we'll know. Why? Because the outside displays the inside. The outside always displays the inside. You're playing a game? You might be fooling yourself, but sooner or later, you're going to be fooling nobody else. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Amen. The bad people that are around you, do you know they're bad? Mostly? A little bit? Hey, I'll tell you what. How often you find out somebody's bad and then they're changed and they start being good? Not too often, right? Like, ooh, bad person. He says, this is Jesus talking. How often is Jesus wrong? He says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. Good deeds come from a good heart. And the converse is true as well. Bad things, bad heart. Jesus really simplifies life here. Good and bad. No questions. So you might have some questions about somebody. You might be concerned about somebody. I don't know what's going on in their heart. Jesus says, you got anybody like that? Maybe a friend, a family, I don't know, family member, husband, child, whatever. I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're at with the Lord. Jesus says, hey, you can tell where they're at with me by what they do, the choices that they make. There's a whole bunch of empty seats here today. People get challenged. People make choices. People do stuff. I'll tell you what, the devil will be coming after you, right? You want to try and get you out of this place because something good's going to happen. Can I get a witness on that? I'll tell you what, you got to fight here to get here. You got to make that happen. We're going to be talking about that a little in a minute. Evil things come out of evil hearts. How can you tell what's going on in their heart? Jesus says, look at what they're doing with their hands. Scoreboard, bad deeds, bad heart. Bad deeds, bad heart. Good deeds, good heart. We are, you get a display of where you're at in your life. My wife is attempting to train my son. Everybody's going, oops, I'm sorry. That's the next illustration. We're going to come back to my son training my wife training my son. Bad deeds, bad heart. Good deeds, good heart. You can know what's on the inside, but what you see on the outside, right? What's that? What do you call that? What kind? It's Eskimo pie. No. It's an Eskimo pie. Fudgesicle looks different. Fudgesicle doesn't have that crunchy stuff on the outside. It's an Eskimo pie. Now, what's on the inside of that? Vanilla. How do you know? Because you know, you've experienced before, you've cracked it open, you've seen what's on the inside. See, you can know what's on the inside of that Eskimo pie without actually seeing it on the inside. And Jesus says, you can know what's on the inside of somebody. You can know what's inside their heart by what they're doing on the outside. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Are we talking now? All right, I'm going to come back to Joe in a minute. Okay. Opportunity for change. Opportunity for change. Now, I'm jumping back to the Old Testament, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, major prophet, Old Testament, about halfway through. You can go there and read it. 36, 37 is off the hook, too, I might tell you. God, speaking through the prophet, Ezekiel. Prophet means the mouthpiece of God, okay? So this is God speaking through Ezekiel, and he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I took a shower. You know, sometimes you just feel funky after working. Just going to go to bed, and you're all sticky and funky, you know. Just take a shower, get in the clean sheets. How's that feel? That feels good, doesn't it? The Lord says, I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water. He says, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. That was a problem with the Jews back in the day. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And the Lord does heart surgery. We hear about heart surgery all the time. Bible says, first heart transplant that was ever completed was done by a guy named Christian Barnard on December 3rd, 1967. There are currently 3,500 heart transplants performed every year. And the average survival rate is 15 years. You get a heart transplant today, and your expected life is going to be 15 years down the road. That's what it averages. It could be shorter, could be longer. That's pretty cool. Amen? Worldwide, 3,500 heart transplants per year. But Jesus has been doing heart surgery for 2,000 years. There are 25 billion Christians. In the 1990s, the decade of the 1990s, there were 2.5 million conversions to Christ. There were 2.5 million people in that 10-year period that received a brand new heart. Now, what do you think the life expectancy is on that heart? That heart will last forever. Amen?
Amen?
You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been born again today. You've been sprinkled brand new with water. You've got a brand new heart in you. You'll last forever. He not only says, I won't just give you a brand new heart. He says, I'm going to cleanse you. I'll tell you what, you get surgery, they put that brown stuff on you. What is that, iodine or something? You know, they just kind of clean you all up. Lord says, you know what, I'm going to put that new heart in you, but I'm going to clean you up. Because you come to me and you're filthy and you need to be cleansed. He says, I'm going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm going to cleanse you from all idolatry. He says, I'm going to give you a brand new fresh start. How many of you could use a fresh start today? Can I get a witness on that? It is like having all your debts cleared. It's like, oh, man, all my credit cards are jacked up, you know. It's like, hey, I'll wipe all your debts free. Sound good?
Yes.
The problem is you get your debts cleared, and then you go shopping and say, oh, I need me a new flat screen. You start shopping, man. You just start rolling up all these bills, and pretty soon you're just like where you started. So you can get a fresh start and you can waste it. The Lord doesn't want that because the Lord is planning for our success. The Lord, do you believe that the Lord wants you to win? When you are losing, if the Lord wants you to win, what will He do? What does He say, Dana? If you're doing something wrong, you say, that's wrong. Right? If your kid is doing his homework, doing geometry, and doing it all wrong, you're going to say, kid, hey, son, child, you're doing it wrong. You're going to just do it wrong and say, look, I'm done with my homework. It's all wrong. He says, this is Ezekiel, I'm going to give you a new, let's see, he says, down reading down here from Ann, and I will put my spirit in you. I'm going to put my spirit in you and move you. Everybody say, move you. Let me say it again. Move you. He says, I'm going to put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Hey, oh, wait a minute. To follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. The Lord wants you to succeed, so He's going to point you in the correct direction. He gives us a new spirit. He removes the heart of stone, because what can you do with a heart of stone? Not much. He gives a heart of flesh, but if you don't start acting right, you can start getting some more plasma TVs and flat screens and charging up your cards again, and just start, that heart just start getting hard all over again. Can I get a witness here? And so he says, I'm going to put my spirit in you to direct you to the right course. So you're not going to end up all filthy again. The Bible says the spirit of the Lord is going to guide us into truth. He's going to move us to follow his decrees, to be obedient. Because left to our own, we might not follow. Now, I know you've been waiting expectantly. My wife is training my son. And you ask, pray tell, what is your wife training your son to do? Take out the trash. Now, that's not our trash, okay? But it's a picture that I found on the internet today. And Lisa had this great idea. So I told Joe, every time the trash is full, I want you to empty it. How many of you moms have ever said those words to your son? Oh, yes. And so, you know, and I think you ladies just have a different concept of full than young boys. You know, it's like, oh, I can just make, you know, Leaning Tower of Pisa here. I think it's going to be okay. And my wife says, I'm just not going to tell him anymore to empty the trash. And I'm just praying he's going to notice it. They don't notice it. See, every time we have to tell him to empty the trash, it's a display of his immaturity, that he didn't get it. And every time the Holy Spirit has to move you into truth, it's a display of your immaturity, that you didn't get it on your own. Now, isn't it good that he's there? Because it's a whole lot better to be corrected and moved into correctness than just be able to wander into lostness. A display of our immaturity. Point number three. The change is on display. The lack of change is on display. Joe's lack of change on display every time. Say, Joe, would you take out the trash? You're not getting it, son. Our change or our lack of change is on display. Jesus asks a question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Christians act, I guess I could put, Christians are supposed to act like, what do you think? Very good. Give that, we had candy on Sundays, you'd get some. Christians are supposed to act like Christians. We are supposed to have our internal change on display. Jesus is getting real right here. He says, you tell me I'm your Lord, but you don't act like it. He says in John, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And what Jesus says is there's a disconnect here. If I'm your Lord, you'll do what I say. But what you say and what you do are not lining up. We have words for this. Error, deception, hypocrisy. So I have a problem with that. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I want to do good, but I just can't. Do you know why? Bad heart. Bad heart equals a bad life. So what do? You ask Jesus for a new heart. You ask Jesus for a new spirit. You ask Jesus to cleanse you. And here's the deal that Jesus has. He's kind of like a car dealer. He wants a trade-in. He says, you give me your old heart, and I'll give you a new one. Because you can't have two. And so many of us get that new, nice, little fleshly heart. We got our old heart of stone. And we go, you know what? I kind of like some of the old stuff. Kind of like your old shoes. Maybe women aren't attracted to their old shoes. How many of you guys like your old shoes? Oh, I love my old shoes. Women go, who likes old shoes? No, I want new shoes. Anyway, like that old pair of shoes just fits you so good. Maybe it's an old pair of jammies for you ladies. Say, no, Lord, here, you can have your heart of flesh back. I'll just stay with the hard one because I'm used to it. Bad deeds, bad heart. Now, here's the issue. There's a test. In the end, there's a test. Jesus says, I'll show you what he's like who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation for the house. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house and could not shake it. It was solid, it was secure, it was firm. The water, the flood is rushing against that house and it could not be moved. But the man who does not put my words into practice, he'd just be sliding around all over the place. No security, no foundation. And he says that when the flood hit that house, its destruction was complete. I got to tell you, folks, Jesus is not really talking about a house. Jesus is talking about people. And he's likening the tests of life to these floods that come into our lives. And they're coming. And he says, Put my decrees, my word, my truths into practice. And he says, it's going to take effort. And you might be sitting there going, you're joking, right? I mean, I put my dollar in the offering plate. God doesn't want anything more than a dollar a week from me, does he? He says, it's like laying a foundation. It's like digging. There's a guy when we lived in Mexico in the orphanage named Dionisio, hand dug a well 30 feet deep, 12 feet wide with a shovel. That's digging. That's working. Jesus says, you want to have a secure life, it's going to take some effort on your part. And if you don't want to put any effort in, it's probably not going to work real well for you when these challenges come at you in your life. And there is one big, massive, huge, giant test that is coming. It's called the final judgment. I want to read to you about that. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11 says, he who has an ear. You got one? Tug on that ear, would you? Just tug on your ear. There you go. You got an ear. Good. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. You're thinking, well, that doesn't scare me. Well, wait a minute. What's the second death? Well, let me tell you what the second death is. We will jump ahead to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be, this is where it gets, in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, does that sound like a bummer? Can I get a witness on that? Fiery lake. Sulfur burns at 2,000 degrees. Fiery lake of burning sulfur, this is the second death. Now maybe you're going, I'm a little worried now. I got some good news for you. You can know how you're going to fare on Judgment Day. You say, really? How? Bad fruit, bad heart, bad life. And a bad end when you run into Judgment Day. Good fruit, good life. Secure foundation. Trials come, floods come. You will be secure. Some people are feeling happy. And some people are feeling a little scared. We are living in a stressful environment. And challenges come our way. Little floods come our way every week. And when they come, we display what we have on the inside. What do you have on the inside? Do you want to make a change? That's the question. Some of you don't like what you're seeing. Tired of failure. And you want a new start. Some of you have received a new start. Said, oh, Lord, come into my life. But you know what? Started digging that foundation. Said, you know, it's a little tiring. You know, I got like a couple shovelfuls done, and I'm tired. I think I'm going to take a little break. Never got back to working that foundation. Never got back to getting into the Word. Never got back to making that transformation. That heart just started getting harder and harder and harder and harder. Spirit spoke in your ear and said, nah, you know, I'm a little busy. Why don't you come back tomorrow, Jesus? Why don't you come back next week? Maybe I'll have a little time for you. And the challenges in your life come every week. And it's failure after failure after failure. And realistically, you're getting a little tired of failure. Oh, I wish I could just make a change. Some of you have given the Lord your life. And He's given you a new heart. And you are struggling and straining every day, digging that foundation, sweating and working, and you're wondering, it's like, man, you know, I'm not getting all that much progress. I mean, when you take a look at it from a little distance away, the guy who's just fallen and fallen and standing but fallen and failing, and the guy who's just standing there digging and digging and digging, they're both sweating like crazy. But if you are trying to find a way how to put the precepts of God to work in your life, because it's hard. When you come, it's like, oh, this is brand new. Can I get a witness on that, Thomas? Thomas called me up. I don't get this word. I come over there and I help. That's why we're doing lunch with Pastor Bob. You can say, hey, I don't get this. We'll sharpen your shovel. We'll get you digging deeper. We'll get you down to that foundation of bedrock. Get that house built. And then you start living. Then you start, the Spirit start directing you and guiding you. Does that make sense? Because some of you are digging and some of you are just struggling. And some of you are sitting in that house going, whoo-wee. It's nice living with a firm foundation. Because these floods are coming. And I'm feeling secure. Some people think it's just an easy ride, but it's not. Some people come in here today and say, you know what? I just came in here to get my hot licks, somebody to serve me, and that's all I need today. And that's what I think the church is all about. Well, I'm going to close, and we're going to close with communion. I asked Anthony, and I asked Ramiro to help me pass these out. And as they pass these communion elements out, these are symbols. Go ahead. These are symbols of Jesus Christ hanging on a cross to pay for your sins. And if you came in here today thinking, oh, this is just an easy ride, a free transformation. Well, that free transformation cost Jesus Christ all that He had. All that He had to give as He hung on a cross and bled for your sins. You take these elements. You might be new here with us. Just hold them. We'll partake of them together. But I want you to think about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made that you might have the opportunity to get a new heart, that you might have the opportunity to get a new start, that you might have the opportunity to dig deep and to hear His word and to put it into practice in your life, and you would be transformed. You can think about the cross. Jesus said, you're going to follow me? Great. He says, if anybody would follow me, I want you to pick up your cross daily. Daily. Christianity is an uphill climb, folks. I don't know what challenges you got. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I have not been being obedient to my Lord Jesus Christ. I have not been putting His word into my life and living it out and being obedient. and I'm failing over and over and over again, and I don't want to fail anymore. If that's you, you can take a look at these elements and say, Lord, I'm done. I'm tired. Oh, go ahead. Tired of failing, tired of struggling. Give me another shot, Lord. It's going to be different this time. Guide me by your Spirit. Why don't you sing that song, Lisa? As we finish passing these elements out, Lisa will sing this song for us. Let's just think about our lives.